Now let's get into this first chapter here. The persecution of believers now, which is not the great tribulation, and the judgment of unbelievers hereafter, that is, at the coming of Christ. We find here that in verses 1 and 2, we have the introduction, and then in verses 3 through 7, we have the persecution of believers and the fruits of it, and then we have in verses 8 through 12, judgment of wicked at the coming of Christ. And of course, that judgment is not finalized until the great white throne, because all of the wicked are to be gathered for that final assize before God. Now, will you notice the introduction here, and I'm reading, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here we have a tremendous statement that Paul makes, and I'd like to follow through with it because of the importance of it. The greeting of Paul here is his usual friendly greeting to a church that is theologically and spiritually sound. And he puts with him Silas and Timothy. These men together had endured a great deal. Paul and Silas, you remember, were in the prison at Philippi. And Paul and Silas and Timothy had gone down to Thessalonica. And when Paul had to leave there, he left Silas and Timothy and waited for them in Athens, and they didn't come, and he went on to Corinth, and they finally arrived there. That's when he wrote his first epistle to answer some questions that had arisen. Now we find Paul here writing this second epistle, and he identifies these two co-workers, the brethren, with him. Paul didn't mind doing that. He would identify himself with men that for us today would be totally unknown had not Paul included them in these epistles. And it reveals, I think, something of the character of Paul the Apostle. A man who had been a proud young Pharisee becomes now a humble follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and a servant of his and an apostle of his. Now he says, to the church of the Thessalonians. Well, that's the local church. It's in Thessalonica. Paul believed in the local church. And that church that's in Thessalonica is in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I take it that he didn't say in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was in the church in Thessalonica, indwelling believers. And that was for the purpose of them manifesting the life of Christ down here, to walk worthy of the high calling of God. But their position is that they are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means, friends, that Paul taught the deity of Christ. There was no question in his mind who the Lord Jesus Christ was. He's God. Now, the church is in both God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember the Lord Jesus put it like that, that his sheep followed him. He knew them. He gave them eternal life. They shall never perish. And he says, no one can pluck them out of my hand. And the Father that gave them me, he's greater than all. And no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You have the two hands of deity there, the Lord Jesus and God the Father. Now, that is where the church is positionally today. And it was at Thessalonica, but it was in Christ Jesus. Now, the important thing is not the name of your church or name of your local church. The important thing is that you and the other believers are in Christ Jesus. And then the local church becomes very important if they are in Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit therefore indwells them. Then they can manifest in the neighborhood and in the community and in the town and in their section of the city and in the world the life of God, my beloved. That is what Paul actually is saying in this very lovely introduction. Now, he uses the same introduction that he uses in most of his epistles. This is his formula. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the two high words of the gospel today. Grace comes first. If you have experienced the grace of God, that means you've been saved, for it's by grace are we saved. And you have come as a lost sinner, bringing nothing to God and receiving everything from Him, then you've experienced the grace of God. He offers you salvation. The gift of God is eternal life, and you can't work for a gift. If you do, it ceases to be a gift, and it's something you work for. It's a payment. And salvation, God is not patting you on the back because you're a nice little Sunday school boy. God is offering you, a lost, hell-doomed sinner, a salvation if you trust Him, and that's grace. Grace unto you, and if you've experienced that, then you know something of the peace of God, what it is to put your head on the pillow at night and rejoice in a salvation like this. And this word peace is the softest pillow that there is to sleep on at night. It's the peace that comes when you know your sins are forgiven you. And this comes not because of some psychological gyration that you go through down here or because you've been to a psychiatrist. It comes from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's supernatural, my friend. And if you don't have it, you don't have it. That's it. And you can have it because it's the gift of God and it's given to sinners. And if you come under that classification, and I'm of the opinion that you do, then it's for you. Now, that's the introduction. Isn't that a lovely introduction?